And at this time, we want to welcome our evangelist, Reverend Kenny Williamson. Give him a great big welcome as he comes to preach, sing, and bless us with the word. Hallelujah.
Let's give that band one more hand. They did a super job, did they not? Amen. We're so glad to hear. Glad you're here tonight. I want you to stand to your feet. We had some good singing already. I want you to stand and help me sing one old song. This is older than Ricky hitting them's tonight. And so that means it's pretty old, but I want you to sing it with me anyway. It goes just like this. If my band will play right on me, it didn't hit, but maybe it hit this time. Here we go. Everybody know this old song when we get started here. Just everybody will be happy over there. You know that song? Come on. There's a happy land of promise over in the great beyond, where the saved of earth shall soon the glory share, where the souls of men shall enter and live on forevermore. Everybody will be happy over there. Come on, choir. Brothers, we'll be singing around that throne in that land where no one ever knows a care. And the Christians of all ages will join in that triumph song. Everybody will be happy over there. Come on. Oh. We'll be, come on, that's good. We'll be happy over there. We will shout. God's praises, everybody will be happy over there. Come on, I know that everybody will be happy. We'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praises. Everybody will be happy over there. Yes, everybody will be happy over there. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise in this house tonight. Come on, let's give him a shout of praise in this house tonight. Hallelujah. I like this last verse. Boy, it says, Ricky, there we'll meet the one who saved us and who kept us by his grace and who brought us to that land so bright and fair. I'm going to praise his name forever when I look up on his face. Everybody will be happy over there. Come on, choir. Oh, come on. Oh, we'll be happy over there. We will shout and sing God's praise. Everybody, one more time, I wish you'd help me sing it now. Everybody will be happy over there. Come on, give us a praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, you can do better than that. Let's give the Lord some praise in this house. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You be seated. If you went on a search and you found that old cross on which the Savior died, it might be turned to dust. Those old nails might be rough, but it would still make you feel warm inside, because if nothing else lingers from Calvary's tree, It's a big steal from Mercy Will Stand. 'Cause those nail prints were made so that God could engrave those he loves in the palms of his hands. So take a closer look at Calvary. There you'll read more than your eyes can see. There's more written there than just pain and despair expelled on an old rugged tree. That old callous Roman soldier could not have known that he was in God's plan when he drove the nails that carved my name in the palms of Jesus' hands. He broke open death's bars and he showed us the scars, living proof that his death was not in vain. His body's been healed, all God's glory revealed. So why should those scars still remain? Not so he won't forget, but so he can remind us just how much of his love we command. Because he still bears those marks caused by love in his heart, with the nails that place my name in his hands. So take a closer look at Calvary. There you'll read more than your eyes can see. There's more written there than just pain and despair expelled on an old rugged tree. That old callous Roman soldier could not have known that he was in God's plan that carved my name in the palms of Jesus' hands. Yes, those nail prints were made so that God could engrave those he loves in the palms of his hands. Hallelujah. Aren't you grateful for the love of Jesus tonight? I said, are you grateful for the love of Jesus tonight? Hallelujah. My friend Charles Johnson years ago put this song on the market. Goes like this. Someday, church, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to a meeting around the throne. And I'm going to shout, all my troubles are over. Soon as I move to my brand new home. Well, someday, church, I'm going to be leaving. I'm going to a meeting around the throne. And I'm going to shout, all my troubles are over. Soon as I move to my brand new home. When I leave this world behind me, church, I'm gone and I'll come no more. When I sing my last song, I'm gonna move, oh yes I am, to my brand new home. Well, someday, church, I'm gonna be leaving. I'm going to be leaving around the throne. And I'm gonna shout, all my troubles are over. A brand new home. sunshine, all my troubles were over. Soon as I moved to my brand new home, Sunday church. To my brand new home. Come on, give us a praise tonight. Hallelujah. How many can say I'm going tonight? I mean, said, how many can say I'm going tonight? He has fire in his eyes and a sword in his hand. He's riding a white horse all across this land. He's calling out to you and me, saying, will you ride with me? Will you ride with me? And we say, yes, Lord. We will. He has fire in his eyes, a sword in his hand. He's riding a white horse all across this land. He's calling out to you and me, saying, will you ride with me? Will you ride with me? And we say, yes, Lord, we will ride. And we say, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, we will stand up and fight. We will ride with the armies up in heaven. We're gonna be dressed in white.
We'll be dressed in white.
And we say, yes, Lord. We will ride. He has a crown upon his head. He's carrying a scepter in his hand. And he's leading the armies all across this great big land. Hey, I believe he's down here in Wilson, North Carolina this week, calling out to you and I. Said, will you ride with me? Will you ride with me? And we say, yes, Lord. We will ride. Yes, Lord, we will stand up and fight. We will ride with the armies up in heaven. We're gonna be dressed in white.
We'll be dressed in white.
And we say, yes, Lord, we will. You tonight, friend, but I made up my mind. I'm gonna say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We will stand up and fight. We will ride with the armies up in heaven. We're gonna be dressed in
white.
And we say, yes, Lord. We will ride. I mean, it means that tonight. See that fire in his eyes. It's his love for his bride. As long as she be with him, right by his side. Yes, that fire in his eyes. is his burning desire that his bride be with him right by his side. He's calling out to you and me right now. Saying, will you ride with me? Friend, I wonder what your answer's gonna be when the Lord says, will you ride with me? Calling out to every one of us in this room tonight, and he's saying, hey, will you ride with me? We say yes. All over this house, we just lift your hands one time. Say, Father, I'm willing. I'm ready. God, speak your word unto me, God, and I'll go. I'll say it. I'll do it. I'll be. Yes, Lord. God, when you call me home, I'll say yes, Lord. But until then, God, whatever you want me to do, I'll say yes. Yes, Lord. I apologize. Whatever reasons won't act up on me, but there's a little song. Sing this song if I can. This afternoon, this little song's been on my heart. Goes back a long ways. It goes like this. I've been on my way to heaven for a long, long time. Many things have happened that's crowded up my mind. But I am more determined to walk the narrow way, 'cause I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. There's a golden the highest hills. I know the joy of living in the center of God's will. I've watched the angels come and take my loved ones home to stay, but I've got more to go to heaven for than I had yesterday. Give us some praise one more time in this house tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I plan to go there, don't you? I said, I plan to make it. Turn around to somebody. Turn around and look at them and say, are you on your way tonight? Come on, ask them. Are you on your way tonight? Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank God for the Spirit of God that's in the house tonight. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I think what we need to do, I don't do this too often, but you need to stand one more time. Lift both your hands toward heaven right now. Come on, come on. Stand. There's all over the house right now. Just for a moment, let's just praise him. Father, Father, I thank you. I thank you, Holy Ghost. I thank you, Holy Ghost, that you're in this presence, this place tonight. And God, I know that where you are, things will happen. It won't be because the evangelists or a particular group of people, but it be if your people, which are gathered in your name, you promise you'd be in the midst. And when you come in the midst, lives can be supernaturally changed. And we're believing that to take place in this room tonight. Reach over and touch somebody as you're still standing. Reach over and say, Father, call them by name. You know them. If you don't know them, just call them their brother or sister. Say, Father, touch them. Be the Holy Ghost tonight. Touch them. Give them physical strength, God. Give them a miracle tonight, Father. Move in their life, God, in a supernatural way. Don't let this be church as usual. But let it be a move of God, God, that lives can be changed tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, just worship Him. I feel the Holy Ghost trying to stir in this room tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. You can be seated. Thank you. Thank you so very much for being with us tonight on this Monday night. Thank Pastor Jerry, the staff of Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church for allowing us to be here. Thank you, Wes Wilson, Church of God, for being here tonight and all the other guests that may be here. And thank you for coming. And I prayed today. I come in here this morning and I just felt an urgency to pray. And I prayed. I prayed over every seat in this room this morning. And I said, God, go beyond Kenny and let the Holy Ghost touch every life that sits in a chair tonight. Because that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about. If you have your Bibles, they're going to put it on PowerPoint tonight. I'm so grateful that for PowerPoint, it means when you get old and you still can't see with your glasses, they got letters that you can still read, Ricky. So thank God for PowerPoint. I want us to read a passage of Scripture in the book of Joshua, the fourth chapter. Joshua chapter 4, starting with verse 1. And it says this, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of men, and command you them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and you shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where you shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord, your God, into the midst of Jordan, and take you up, every man of you, a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then you shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. Somebody say amen. And the children of Israel, did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged. And they laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the ark of the covenant stood. And they are there unto this day. Somebody say amen. I'm going to skip a few verses, go down to verse 19. And the people came out of Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in the Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jericho, did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then you shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until you were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth, here we go, that all the people of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord, that it is, shout it, mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Somebody say amen. A lot of reading there just for a short passage, but I wanted us to read those two passages there in the chapter 4 of Joshua, because I want to speak to you tonight on lasting memories. Lasting memories. As I shared with you last night, I've been raised in church all of my life. And I've seen a lot of things happen. A lot of things happen. Can I say about three more times? A lot of things happen. A lot of things happen. A lot of things happen. If I hadn't told you, I've seen a lot of things happen. And while I was at church, they all called it God. Some of it was. Some of it wasn't. Y'all ever been in those kind of services? I know that you've been any at all. You've been to those kind. But as I read this story several months ago in the book of Joshua, and I was reading it one day, and it caught my attention. It caught my attention that in both little passages I read tonight, Brother Jerry, it said it in both of them, that there'll come a time that your children will say, what meaneth these stones? So I've come to tell you tonight, there's somebody watching you. I said, there's somebody watching you. Let me say it one more time. There's somebody watching you. And I'm not even talking about the Lord tonight. He's watching you. But there's other folks watching you. And there's folks wondering tonight as they go down the name of this road. What's the name of this road out here? Whatever name of it is. Tillman Road, is that right? There's folks going down Tillman Road saying, my God, them folks ain't got something better to do on Monday night. You know they are. Because they found something better to bless their heart, they had to go to church. Ah, bless them, Jesus. Ah, they probably ain't saying that, but they probably made some kind of reference to why they're going, why there's the parking lot's full and people are coming in and why is those people doing what they do? And it's a good question. It is a good question. It is a good question, but you and I have to have a good answer. Nothing wrong with them questioning, because they've been by hundreds of churches over the years, and they've seen the parking lots full. They've seen a good number of people. They've seen nice buildings, but there's a lot of people still in the United States of America tonight that does not have a clue why you and I are doing what we're doing tonight. They don't have a clue. They've never experienced a relationship with Jesus. They've never felt his presence. They've never been healed. They've never been set free from the strongholds that has them in bondage. And so they have a lot of questions. And we have, and it's amazing, Brother Jerry, that you stated this a while ago, and it just affirmed me because I was uncertain to just a little while before I come in tonight what direction I was going to take. But when you made the reference of the generations, it let me know that God was speaking something here tonight, that we're passing the baton on to the next generation. And even if there's not another generation, I don't know. I do believe the coming of the Lord is soon. I believe you and I could possibly see the Lord split those eastern skies. But even if there's not another generation, we as born-again believers that have been through the fires and seen the hand of God move in our life, we've got some stones in our life that we can say, right here's where God moved in a particular situation in my life. Amen? How many has got a stone or two in your life? Some folks said, I remember it was at this such and such church on a certain day at a certain time that the Spirit of God drew me unto Him and I received the Lord as Lord of my life. Praise God for that stone. Some would say, I remember the night I got infilled with the power of the Holy Ghost. There's another stone. I remember when I got a bad doctor's report and I went and had those elders to pour that whole bottle of oil on my head like I preached about last night. And God moved in my life and there's another stone. I remember when I had prayed so long for our children to be saved and set free from the strongholds. But I remember when God did that work and here's another stone. That ought to make us want to shout in this little house tonight. Because we all truly have something that we can make reference to. I travel pretty much the whole United States throughout the year. I drive probably 35 to 40,000 miles a year in that motorhome across this country. Or we either fly or do something to get to wherever we're going. And I've been going in Southern Illinois for quite a few years, for several years back. Nita's way better on times and dates than I am, but I would dare say 7-8 years ago now, maybe somewhere around that. Some of you older generation maybe remember the Siegel Brothers and Naomi. But I sung with Naomi for about 6 months on the road just to happen her out and different things. And through that, have made some new connections. Still doing my own schedule when I could and working with her also. And I met a gentleman in Southern Illinois that is a booking agent. And he does my schedule in that area now. And his name is Norman Martin. Norman Martin was hit on his graduation night at 18 years old by a drunk driver. And he's been paralyzed all of his life since then. And he is now close to 70. I'm not exactly sure of his age, but he's close to 70. He married his high school sweetheart. Her name is Esther. I think it's very unique in their situation. Esther has totally taken care of Norman for years and seen that he could have the best that she could provide. They couldn't have children, Ricky, and they thought, and they adopted a child from overseas, and that baby had leukemia, went through the leukemia stage, childhood leukemia. And right after they adopted the baby, though, Esther got pregnant with her first baby. And her name is Kelly. Kelly was now 19 years old, fixing to get married in just a few weeks when she started having migraine headaches, tremendous migraine headaches. And Kelly and her family went to a little community church in Southern Illinois. It was not, quote, a full-fledged Pentecostal church where we swing from the chandeliers and jump three pews and all those things. It was, watch it now. But they were good people. Now, don't follow the boat with me. I don't believe you have to swing from the chandeliers to have God. It's fun to watch them folks do it every now and then. Yeah. I'll give you another one. It's in the Bible. The Bible says that they shall take up serpents. And I believe the Bible. They shall. I'm not. I didn't have nothing to do with my sermon, Jerry. I'm going on. The Bible says that. They shall. I've been to snake handling churches. I have. I've been there, but I killed the spirit that night. I sung Precious Memories and everything else I could sing. Nothing had no life to it. I slung it slow and dead. I went about to get those rattlers started up. God help me tonight. Erase all that I'm saying to start over again. But this little church in Southern Illinois, it's good people, wonderful people. Been there many times now. But as the pastor was preparing for his message during this little process of this young lady having tremendous migraine headaches, fit to get married, very concerned, everybody's concerned, because it was a daily thing. She could not get beyond it. And it was very troubling to all everybody involved. And as the pastor was studying one day, you know, Brother Jerry, Ricky, all of us, we read, we study, we take notes, we make references, we do all these things. And but this pastor at that time was really, you know, he was just a good man, but he really wasn't deep into anything at that point. Growed quite a bit over the last few years, but he was reading a passage. He was, as he's trying to find a message for Sunday, he come across a scripture that you and I have heard many times. He said, if there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil, pray in the prayer of faith. They've committed either sins, the sins will be forgiven them. And the Lord shall raise them up. Somebody say amen. Amen. He read that little scripture and he said, He called his head deacon up. Because he didn't want to do anything out of order. He said, deacon, he said, I've been studying for the message Sunday and I want to read you something I just read. I don't know if you know what's even in the Bible or not. He said, but he read in that scripture I just quoted, and he said, what do you think about Sunday when I get through with the message that we do this for Kelly? And the deacon says, I think that's wonderful. What could it hurt? So what happened, though? I want you to hear this. What happened? Remember, they don't know. They don't have it all together. They're not. This is not a frequent thing to them, Ricky. This is new stuff. Sometimes I like getting with folks that don't know everything. Because I feel at home, because I certainly don't know everything. Well, during the week before Sunday got there, somebody went down to the Dollar General or something and got a little aerial rug, a little 2x2, 3x3. And they got a bottle of oil. And so when the service is coming close to the end on Sunday, they brought the rug up and they put it right here in the center at the front. And they asked Kelly to come up and bow on the rug. So Kelly just doing what the preacher asked. She bows on the rug. And y'all know I experienced, I played this out with Pastor Ricky last night. They got the whole bottle of oil and poured it on Kelly. The whole bottle. Poured it on Kelly. She was drenched. The rug was drenched. But she went back to the doctor next week, and they had already diagnosed, I got ahead of myself, they had already diagnosed her, they'd already run some tests, found out she had a brain tumor. But the very next week after they did that crazy thing I'd never done before. Went back to the doctor and the brain tumor was gone. The brain tumor was gone. And so now, if you go to that little church, sis, guess what's right here? As soon as you walk through that beautiful little church door, your eyes focus on the ugliest thing in the building. It's right here. It's stained. It's ugly. It's one of those things that anybody would say, why in the God's world don't they get that rug up and throw it in the trash can? But the reason they're doing that, Brother Jerry, because it may be the only stone that's happened in that building in a long time. And the stone is still laying there. And when somebody mentions about that little ugly aerial rug, they say, let me tell you what happened right there. And so I go back to that church and I preach like I preach y'all folk. And I say, look, Pastor, you don't only need a rug right there. You need one right over yonder. You need one back yonder. You need one back in the foyer. You need one all over the house where God has showed up in a supernatural way. We need places that we can make reference to. Anybody can build, don't get mad at me, but anybody can build a church. Anybody can form a choir. Anybody can call themselves a preacher. But you can't create God-given miracles. You can bake them. I've been in some of those too. Yeah, I won't call no names tonight. You may get mad at me. It may be your favorite preacher. But there's people that try to pull tricks of the sleeve to create things. And I've heard them even say, we do this to get people's faith to be built up, to believe God for their miracle. Well, if I had to build my faith upon a lie, it ain't worth much. I'm not going to go there tonight. I'm just making the statement. So I every time I go to that little church, I'm always reminded of what that little rug is all about. It tells me that God's still in the miracle working business. So when Kelly's kids come up, and Kelly's kid has come up, her oldest child, about 3 years ago, I was in the service one night and the Lord gave me a word for her and her husband. And I said, Kelly and Sean, you have been through some great storms in your life, but you're fixing to face the worst one you've ever faced. That ain't what you want to say when you're the man. You want to say, you just trust God, God's going to pay your house off next week. No, but that ain't what God said. I said, you're going to go. And it was the very next week, and I can tell you, Ricky, the very next week, Sean called me from the hospital. He's crying. He says, Kenny, you know what you told us the other night at church? He said, it's already happening. They've just diagnosed our baby boy with leukemia. And the Lord's called. God touched that young man. Thank God for that. And although they don't have other rugs in the church, they've had God to move because that triggered something in their life that said, you know, if you'll do what my word says, I'll do this. I've had my own experiences of that. I'm just telling stories just for a few moments tonight. Because in my path of life, my struggles of life, and there's been many of them. I told you last night my physical struggles, and I'm still struggling from time to time with some issues physically, and I'm still believing God to turn it around and do something to my physical health. But with that said, there's times that although we go and we see the hand of God move, and then we leave and we face our own battles, and we just like you come to church and you feel the power of God, and God blesses you and touches you, but you can't hardly get back to the house before something changes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Oh, my God, I remember Brother Jerry when I was a kid. Somebody get a miracle for the next 6 months. They'd ever service. They'd get up shouting, speaking tongues, run the aisles, talking about what God done 6 months ago. It's like that's the only problem they ever had. But today, we face the enemy is raging so intent that basically you can get a touch from God in this service tonight, and before the sun comes up in the morning, you're in the next battle of your life. That's where we at. Storms are raging. The battle's on. And I'd leave services. And feel like the enemy beat me up all the way to the house. I hope this is all right. I'm just telling you the truth. I've done this so long now, but you know, when I was 14, 15, 20 years old, it was sort of a blast to head out, walking out towards the bus, to get on the bus, to go somewhere. I remember, Jerry, the first long trip I ever took. From Buford, Georgia, the first long trip I ever took was to Gaffney, South Carolina. I thought we had went international. Man, I felt good about it. We're going to Gaffney, South Carolina. If you know anything about Gaffney, it ain't much to it. It wasn't then anyway. And all it was there was a Shamrock Motel still there. Ain't much to it either. But to us back then, it was a 5-star motel. When I started at young age, it was exciting to travel. But now at 53, I'm walking toward the motorhome saying, God, you sure about this? But I have to go back to times. And it was a few months ago, I was in one of those times of I needed something for myself. Sometimes the preacher needs some encouragement. Sometimes we need a stir. Sometimes we need a fresh touch. And sometimes it don't come the way we expect it. My dad, I shared with you last night, passed away in 2003. I never had really gotten into my mother and father's estate until my dad got real sick. He had a massive stroke for 9 years. He was in a nursing home or rehab facility, and we was looking after his estate and had to sell his estate. And so my dad, Ricky, as long as I remember, would always record services. Now, we're recording live tonight. Folks are watching us elsewhere, and that wasn't even thought about in the 60s. You know, 60s, 70s, man. And so my dad loved to record services. So how many of you older folks remember the big reel-to-reel tape recorders? Yeah, my dad would go to church with one of those big old luggage cases. Go in, set it on the front row, plug that little microphone in, lay it right there on the front row, spin that reel, lock it on there, get it going, take off. And it wasn't professional. You heard everything that happened inside the building. You heard the people that were praising the Lord, and you heard the people that was talking about the preacher at the same time. You heard every baby that cried. You heard that mama say, "Shut up, sit down now." My daddy recorded, had piles of big old reel-to-reels. Thank God the cassette recorders come in. Now he carried it under his arm. Went right in there. My dad, we went down to, there was a UPC church in Atlanta that did tape distributions. They bought them about 1,000. So my dad would go down and buy 300 or 400 tapes at a time, the big boxes. You know how the churches used to do. We buy them boxes, cases of cassettes. 2-hour tapes. Because it wasn't no sense getting no 30-minute tape because you won't go no 30-minute service. You got 2-hour tapes and sometimes you needed two of them. My dad, when My dad was not professional with this. He never labeled one. Never labeled it. You know, you just pick it up and say, I think I'll listen to this. And it's a surprise. My dad had been dead several months, and we'd gone through this. He had hundreds upon hundreds of cassette tapes, and we had to get rid of most of them. And I saved a few, but one day as I was leaving on the road by myself, I'd got me two or three of those cassettes, and I took them with me because I don't know. I get in the vehicle and start down the road, and I pop one of those little black cassettes in, and immediately I heard the choir singing. I heard particular voices that I recognized. And this cassette, truthfully, Brother Jerry, was somewhere about 15, at least good 15, maybe 20 years old. But it was as though it was last night. It was as though it was last night. I heard Brother Gene Smith, who pastors Burnwell Church, Bible Church of God in Birmingham, Alabama. He was running revival at our little home church. I heard him. His wife was Vestal Goodman's niece, and she sang just like Vestal, and they were precious folk. And I heard them singing. I heard the choir singing. I heard people worshiping. And all of a sudden, out of the blue, out of all that, about 5, 6, 7 minutes into that 2-hour tape, Ricky, I heard a little red-headed mama begin to scream and shout and speak in tongues. I don't know how many hairs I got on top of my head, but God does. But I guarantee you every one of them stood up. I'm driving down the road needing a touch from God, and an old black tape over 15, almost 20 years old. My mom, who's been dead since September of 1990, began to come through those speakers shouting and speaking in tongues. And then nobody had to tell me that was God. I knew that was God. I felt the Holy Ghost come in the vehicle with me. I started having a little church by myself, driving that bus down the road. I never listened to the whole tape. Never got to listen to the whole tape. Mama shouted for about 10 minutes. When she got through, I rewind it all the way to the first. Start over. I got to the point I knew about where she's fixing to start. And when she get ready to start, I got ready to start. And I thought that bus is going to have to drive by himself because the presence of God come in that room, come in that bus that afternoon and begin to touch my soul. That stone that day was a little cassette tape. It didn't have much value. Nobody, it probably didn't mean nothing to nobody, but God knew 20 years ago. He knew 20 years ago that this old boy needed encouragement this particular day. He knew exactly where to put a cassette tape. I've listened to that tape now probably a good 100 times. I still not listen to all 2 hours of it. Don't have no value to it. But I remember a few things that happened that night. I remember when my mom began to shout, speak in tongues. You could tell the atmosphere in the room changed. It was just a few moments. I was almost, although it's a cassette, it was like watching a video. I could visualize it. I remembered it. It was just a few moments after that happened. Roger Bowles, who'd been running from the Lord for a long, long time, got up. He didn't walk to the altar. He ran to the altar. He slid in and got a home run that night. God moved in his life. A few days after that, just a few days after that, Roger and his dad were loggers, and a few days after that, Roger was in the woods when he cut a tree, and the tree hit him right in the side of the head and killed him in the woods. But that night, the presence of God. That night, the presence of God got a hold of that young man, and he found the Lord as Lord of his life. And today, he's rejoicing around the throne, probably so, because of that stepping stone in that service that night where God showed up. I'm here this week to tell you, it's not me. I am nothing. I can do nothing. But I do believe his word. I do believe there's any sick among you. Let them call for the elders of the church. Let them anoint them with oil. Let them pray the prayer of faith. And if they committed any sin, they will be forgiven them, and the Lord will heal them. I believe it still works tonight. So, but those folks that are going down that road tonight, let me tell you, I know they didn't hear me. I could cut the volume up just a little bit louder. I know y'all think it's loud enough, but I could cut it up just for them to know that the reason I'm in this house tonight is because I serve a great big God who's going to work some miracles in this house tonight. We might need some aerial rugs before it's over with. We might need something that tells our young'uns when we're laying in the grave. This is what Joshua said. We's at the River Jordan. Grandpa and Grandma was at the Red Sea. These ain't just stone. Them ain't just rocks right there. That ain't a rock. That's a testimony. That ain't just something that you can get anywhere else. That is something that's right there. Something where God touched my life. See, that's what church is supposed to be. Too long we have settled for this statement. Whatever's going to happen will happen. And just so we can do it before 9 o'clock. That would be great. Lord, if you got any leftovers, if they want to stay, they can have them because I got to go. I'm not preaching to you tonight, but you got to go. I understand. But I'm telling you, Rhea, we have to question ourselves tonight. I'm going to calm down just for a moment, Rakeem, and tell you that we need to question ourselves. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? I know pastors. Pastor Jerry, don't believe in one of them at all. But I know pastors that have got them a good job. And that's all they want. They don't want to move with God because that would cause them to have to seek God. And that will mess up the golf game this week at Tuesday. Oh, that's the truth. There's folks that are in quote ministry that have never had an experience of the power of God upon their life. Never had an experience of God in their life. But you and I, you know, tonight, basically we got the Pentecostal Holiness folk and the Church of God. Both of those groups, somewhere in the past, somewhere or another, you may reference to this tonight, somewhere along the way has had somewhat of a move of God somewhere. Something has happened along the way. I'm grateful for what you said, Brother Jerry. As long as I'm pastor this church, I'm going to see to it we're going to have a move of God. We talked about this when you called me just a few weeks ago on the phone. As long as there's somebody seeking God to do something, yeah. I believe God will do something. Yeah. But if we settle for church as usual, We'll come sick, we'll go sick. We'll come bound, we'll go bound. We'll come defeated and leave defeated. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Now, let me just ask you a few questions before I close for my first time tonight. Does anybody believe that if Jesus himself really walked in this room, that we'd all leave like we came? Can we honestly say that our Redeemer, our Lord, our Savior, if he walked in the room tonight, do we really believe we'd leave like we came? But we've already said several times tonight, the presence of God's in this room. Oh, we get real scripture to say the Bible says for two or more gathered in my name, there he is in the midst. Don't y'all feel the Lord in the house tonight?
Hallelujah! Yes.
Somebody does. Oh. Amazing me. I'm meddling right now. I'm staying. I've been to all kind of churches. I've been to them super spiritual churches for everything that's gone. I've been there. You know when you get the cold air and the hot air, they sort of come together, it creates a fog. Well, I've been to church when the fog was just coming out the vents because the cold and the heat was sort of getting messed up, and they call that the glory of God was coming through the vents. Just lift your hands. Glory of God. See it? Oh, yeah. I was in a service not too long ago. What my service? I was invited to come to a service for a preacher. They said that he had the gift of turning your feelings, your mouth, into gold. I remember Ernest T. Bass one time said he going to knock his front one out and put a gold one right there in the middle. It's Andy Griffith's show, by the way. I went to the service this, and I'm expecting, man, this is supposed to be a high, strong service. This man going to turn some teeth into gold head. Wow. I go down there. It's worse than any funeral I've ever been to in my life. Dead, lifeless. And he got through with his little spiel, and he said, okay, everybody want to go, Billy? Come on up. I thought they was going to kill each other before they got to the front. Stacking chairs across the front with a flashlight. Said, open up in the name of Jesus. I'm thinking, what an absolutely disgrace to the name of God. Oh, you say, I don't know about you, preacher. I'm telling you, friend, it ain't gold teeth we needin' tonight. I said, it ain't gold teeth we needin' tonight. I said, it ain't gold teeth we needin' tonight. I can assure you in this room tonight, there's greater needs than a gold tooth that's needed. I can assure you, in any church we walk in tonight, it's not the things of the flesh we need. We're not needing just a good word saying, yea, thus saith the Lord. God's going to pay off all your bills. And we all shout and say, hallelujah. And that would be wonderful if he did. That would be wonderful. But there's more needs greater than that tonight. You know, before I walked in this room tonight, I got a little bad issue that was going on back at home. And I had to rise off the bed. I was laying on the bed when I was talking on the phone. And I had to shake myself. I said, God, I'm not going to let this disturb me tonight. I'm not going to let this disturb me tonight. You're bigger than the situation. I can't go to Gainesville, Georgia tonight and fix a situation in the first place, but I know that you know exactly what to do in the situation, and I'm going to trust you to do that. I'm going to trust you to do that. There's some of you got children probably running from the Lord tonight, or grandchildren, or spouses, or loved ones that needs a deliverance, or you yourself maybe in this room needing a breakthrough in your life. I'm going to tell you, there's a God in heaven who wants to lay down some stones in your life that you can say, this is the night, on this Monday night, a revival at Westmoreland Pentecostal Holiness Church in the year 2017. The Holy Ghost of God touched my life, and I've never been the same again. See, we were raised. We were raised with men and women, under men and women's ministries, that understood, and we talked about this at the church last night, that they understood that the power of the Word of God is a powerful thing. I remember Smith Wigglesworth telling a story of how he'd been in service one particular night, cast out many devils, went back to his room, went to bed, and was woken up by his bed urching across the floor. He got up out of the bed and said, "Devil, I've already cast you out tonight, and I'm needing some rest. Now you put that bed back over there where it goes, and I'm going to sleep." And that bed literally moved across to where it was supposed to be. He said, "I don't believe that. Don't matter if you believe it or not, it happened." Yeah. And I was sitting in my church I've been out here 17 years. I was on staff of a church for 6 years prior to being back out here 17. Sitting in a church one day at the office. Secretary come, pastor wasn't there. Said, "Can you meet with this couple?" And I said, "Sure." I didn't see them until she'd already asked the question. So she said, "Y'all come on in." This young lady, young man come in, pastor. So she come in first, and he come in right behind her, and his skin was as gooey. It's the only way I know how to say it. He had been in a part of a fire, and I'll tell you the story very quickly. It had burned his skin. It was just gooey. Face, arms. And so he was in a lot of pain, hurting, and his wife did most of the talking. She said, "I know that you questioned what's the matter with my husband. Here's the story." She said, a few months ago, my uncle died, and he was part of a cult. And we were given some of his stuff, and we brought it to our home. I hope this is okay, Pastor. So we brought it to our home, and things that was idols and demonic, and she didn't use that word because she didn't even know what it was. But she did know enough that it was an idol. She said, "These folks worship this stuff." And she said, we begin to, just a few days after being at home, got that stuff at our home, she said, preacher said, we'd be sitting there watching TV in our home, and our kitchen chair would just slide across the room. Said pencils and stuff of this small stuff would fly across the room. She said, "It's got where we're terrified to live in our own home." She said, "The reason my husband is like he is, we think." She said, "Just about a week ago, we were sitting there watching TV, and we was watching one of the emergency room things, and where they had brought a child in that had been brought out of a house fire." And he said, he had made a reference, "Oh, I would love to take that child's pain. I'm so sorry that child is burned up like that. I'd be glad to take his pain." She said the very next day, he goes into work. He worked at a body shop, and he was around some cylinders that were explosive. And somehow another one exploded right beside of him and just burned him and fried him. I said, they tell me the story, and I said, "Are you a Christian? Are you a saved? Are you doing your church?" Because the church was on staff at that time was about 500 or 600, and they had been coming 2 or 3 weeks, and I didn't even know it. And I said, "Are you a Christian? Y'all attend church in church?" They said, "Yeah, we attend here." I said, "We got saved about 3 weeks ago." I said, well, let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something in this room tonight, although you may have been saved a long time. I said, there's power in the blood of Jesus. I said, if you have totally surrendered your life to Christ, and the old man has passed away, and the Lord has created all things new in your life, you have the authority to speak unto the mountains in your life and tell them to go in the name of Jesus. I said, I don't know how you feel about this, but here's what I recommend you do as a pastor. I recommend you get you some anointing oil. I said, we got some. I'll give you some and go to your house and open up every door of your house. Open it up. Anoint the doorpost. Put anointing oil over every door. Oh, and go to the windows and anoint over every window. Tell every demonic spirit in this house to get out of this house, to never come back again. I said, get those idle things and trash them. Burn those things and never allow them in your home another day. I said, if you can't do it, I said, I'll get some of the staff people and we'll come over there. And she said, I think we can do this. So a few days later, you know, all preachers love to eat. And I was at Captain D's. They're local, close to the church. And I'm in there and I'm sitting there by myself. And I see people that see me all the time and they know me come up in the front. But I don't know them. It's sort of like here a few weeks ago, we was on Channel 16 in Greenville. A few days later after that, this lady walks up to Anita and says, hey, you know who I am? Anita says, I don't believe I do. She said, well, I seen you the other night on Channel 16. Yes, ma'am, I seen you right through the cameras, huh? You know. So I'm sitting there at Captain D's. I get through eating. I'm going down to Rica. I'm going to put my tray, trash in the trash thing, and my tray. And there's this couple sitting there. I didn't recognize them. I said, but when I passed, I said, hey, how y'all doing? And I didn't recognize it to be them. And she recognized that I didn't recognize them. She said, you don't know who we are? And I looked back again. And she looked familiar, but I looked at him. I thought she got him a new man. She said, we're that couple sat in your office the other day, talked about the things moving around in our house. And we went home and anointed our house up. Throwed all that junk out. We throw that junk out and said, look at my husband. Don't he look good? I said, my God, don't he look like he's been burnt? So somewhere down the road, that couple will tell a story. They'll tell a story of a God that passed by their little house and moved in their life. Here's the fact, as I truly close tonight. We can choose to let God dominate in our life. Or we can control our own destiny, which will end a wreck. Either we allow God to manifest himself in our life, and say, God, I surrender this battle to you. I take my hands off of it. I'm going to stand on your word. I'm going to believe your word. I'm not going to let what I see deter me from believing your word. I'm going to stand in the devil's face and I'm going to laugh at him. Because here's what I've said, Brother Jerry. Out of all the recordings that we have, the CDs and my singing, DVDs and all that stuff. My grandbabies right now are 8 years old and 4 years old. They don't understand a whole lot of everything that goes on. They like to ride in the motorhome with Papa until he gets to church, and then they don't want to sit for 3 hours to listen to him talk. But I pray if time goes on, listen to me as I close. If time goes on, I pray, sister, that one day those grandbabies will pick up a CD about 30 years from now. But I'm laying in my coffin somewhere or another. They're going to pick up a CD. And I pray that the Holy Ghost of God remains upon that CD. That if they're running from the Lord at that time, the Holy Ghost will put a hook in their mouth. Say, so, you know, I didn't really like going to church with Papa. But there's something real about that that I can't get beyond. That's what I'm standing on tonight. That's why I'm in Wilson, North Carolina tonight. I'm not doing this for a hobby. I'm not doing this for a career. God knows there's better things and easier things to do than this.